Good morning. Good morning. There we go. Good morning. It is indeed a good morning because we are gathered together in the name of Jesus and God is present with us in this place. If you're a guest among us, we are especially glad that you're here, and we'd like to invite you to sign your name on the registration pads that are in the pews and leave your contact information so that we can be in touch with you. We'd also like to invite you to a time of fellowship following our service through the doors to your right in Reed Hall. Coffee and fellowship, we'd love to get to know you. And we hope that you will be greeted in the pews, that folks around you will greet you. We're trying hard to do that lately, but if we don't for some reason, we hope that you'll introduce yourselves to us so that we can know who you are. I'd like to draw your attention to a few announcements. Our next gathering of Brewed Theology will meet this Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. at Jackalope Brewery. Brewed Theology is an informal gathering to discuss God, philosophy, ethics, and ideas over beer or coffee. Our combined Sunday school class will continue through August 14th. It meets in McWhorter Hall, which is just below our sanctuary here. Next week, Reverend Chris Allen will be teaching. He's our newest pastor on staff, so we hope you'll come and hear him as well. And just as a reminder, we continue our capital campaign construction, and that means that some of our staff is having to be displaced from our offices. So if you're trying to find somebody in the building and they're not where they're supposed to be, that's why. Usually the best way to get in touch with us is via email in the midst of all this displacement. So we hope you'll be in touch with us that way. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God this morning.
Oh. It is in this place of holiness that we can come with our fears, our doubts, all the questions of our hearts. It is in this place of discovery that we can come searching. It is in this place of openness that we can come knocking. We are invited to pray. All who have hurt someone else and all who have been hurt by another. We are called to pray for hope, for healing, for mercy. We pray to the one who seeks to make us whole, whose will it is to restore us to new life. Join me as we pray, saying, we do not find it easy to speak of how we do not live as your people, but you invite us to share our weaknesses and failures with you, inviting God. Tempted to think your salvation is for a select few, we put up barriers for others, clinging to all you give to us. We are reluctant to share with those in need. Surrounded by evil and violence, we find it easier to close ranks with those just like us, rather than seeking peace and reconciliation for our world. Forgive us, salvation's God. Open our eyes to our sisters and brothers all around us. Open our ears to the word of hope you speak to us. Open our spirits to the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who flings wide the open doors of your kingdom, that all might find life with you. Here is the good news, my friends. Christ came searching for us, calling us by name, leading us into God's kingdom. In Christ, we become new people. Broken, we are made whole. Lost, we are found. Forsaken, we are restored to new life. Thanks be to God. Amen. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Benjamin MacArthur Wade and Margaret Workman Wade bring their son, Andrew MacArthur Wade, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
We are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Margaret and Ben, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves to you? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child into Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, answer by saying, "We do."
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you into your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. The children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus. Nurtured in the water of a womb, he was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Amen. What name is given this child? Andrew MacArthur, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. May the Holy Spirit work within you, Andrew MacArthur, that you, being born anew by water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Will the congregation please stand and face Andrew MacArthur Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Andrew MacArthur to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
Give thanks for all that God has already given you, Andrew MacArthur, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us now pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and the Word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. We will now hear the Gospel lesson, which comes from the Gospel of Luke, Chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. If you would like to follow along, it is page 845 in the Pew Bible. Hear what the Word of God has to say to you this morning. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated, and if there are other kids who'd like to come forward, or those who are young at heart, you are welcome to come forward. I have a question, and it's for you guys, but it's also for all of you out there. How many of you, when you pray, do you fold your hands like this? Raise your hand if you fold your hands like this when you pray. Okay. How many pray like this, with your hands like this? Okay. How many pray like this, with your hands up? Oh, not very many. Okay. And how many of you aren't really sure what you do with your hands when you pray? I think there are more of those people. Okay. How many of you, when you talk to God, say, God? As opposed, yeah, okay. How many of you say, Jesus? How many of you say, Father or Mother, when you talk to God? Okay. So there are lots of different ways to pray, aren't there? Jesus' disciples came to him, and they wanted to know how to pray. They asked him to teach them how to pray. Some people kneel like that when they pray, don't they? Yeah. And so Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer. We say that prayer every week in church. And it's a prayer that addresses God as Father. And so it reminds us that we're God's children. And it's a prayer that asks for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done. And basically that just means that it asks that God would help our hearts to have love and peace and joy and hope, and that everyone in the world would have love and peace and joy and hope in their hearts, and that God's love would be the biggest thing in the whole wide world. And then it invites us to ask God for what we need: our daily bread, food to eat. We all need food to eat, right? And forgiveness. We all do things wrong sometimes, don't we? And we all need to ask for forgiveness sometimes. And we all need to forgive others. And then it reminds us to ask God for salvation, for freedom from things that are hurtful to us and to others. So there are lots of ways to pray. And if you ever can't figure out what to say to God or how to ask God for what you need, the Lord's Prayer is a good place to begin. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Lord's Prayer that reminds us how we can pray and reminds us that you love us so much and you always hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. Well, I have a confession to make. When I found out what the text was for this morning, the one that Michael had planned before he asked me to preach, I got nervous. Prayer? Oh. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not against prayer. I think it's a good thing. I really do. But it's not always something that I'm comfortable with, or consistent with, or enjoy. Yeah, I just said that in church. Now, to be clear, Michael is always very gracious and generous with the preaching schedule, and I could have chosen a different text for this morning. But have you ever had the feeling of being convicted about something, especially something that you don't particularly want to do? Yeah, I had that conversation with God. Deep down in my heart of hearts, I knew that I needed to write this sermon as much for my own sake as for any of yours, for my own spiritual health. Michael's sermon last week drove the point home. He said that when we're fearful or anxious about something, we should stop and breathe and listen. So that's what I did. I began to read about prayer and think about prayer and pray about prayer. and I tried to listen. It was a good exercise, and I hope that some of what I read and thought about and prayed about will be helpful to you too. Would you pray with me? O God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So our text this morning opens with Jesus praying. His disciples come to him after he's finished, and one of them asks him if he would teach them to pray. As I thought about that scenario, this scene played out in my mind. The disciples watch Jesus praying from a distance, and they're curious about this close, intimate relationship that he has with God. So they start to whisper among themselves, admitting that they want that too, and debating about who's going to be the one to ask Jesus. Well, finally, one disciple draws the short straw, and he's designated by his friends to go and approach Jesus. Lord, he says, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. I have to say, I take a lot of comfort in knowing that Jesus' disciples didn't know how to pray. After all, these guys were his closest friends. They're the people that we now recognize as saints, and even they needed to be taught how to do it. And remember, we're in chapter 11 here, folks. It's not like they just joined up with Jesus yesterday. They've been walking around with him for a while now, watching his miracles and hearing his teachings. This isn't their first rodeo with Jesus, and yet they're unsure. Maybe they just weren't sure how to begin to pray, or what to say when they got started. Maybe their understanding of prayer was so legalistic and rigid that they were just intimidated by it, and so they avoided it altogether. Maybe they were so busy corralling the crowds around Jesus and making sure that everything was in proper order that they just didn't have time to pray. Or maybe, deep down, they were worried that their prayers wouldn't work, that God wouldn't listen, or even worse, that God would say no. We can't know their reasoning, their background with prayer, or their baggage, but we certainly know our own, don't we? How many obstacles? How many excuses? How much denial has kept us from prayer, that deepest source of intimacy with the one who created us? But like any good teacher, Jesus doesn't shame them for not already knowing. He doesn't scold them for not doing their homework. Instead, he shows them how to pray, using the words that we know today as the Lord's Prayer. One commentary I read called this prayer refreshing, because it doesn't require that we become anything that we aren't already. We don't have to already be good before we pray. We don't have to have our act together before we approach God. In fact, the Lord's Prayer is deeply rooted in the reality of the human condition. It's a corporate prayer, a prayer for the community, one that acknowledges that despite our individual concerns and needs, we are united in our common humanity. We are all in need of food, of daily bread. We're all in need of forgiveness, reconciled relationships with God and one another, even as others ask it of us. And finally, we're all in need of salvation, of liberation from evil, injustice, and oppression that lead to death and pervade this world. It's a deeply human kind of prayer, one that doesn't gloss over the hard realities of life or assume that we've got it all together, even we who have been following Jesus for some time. Instead, it allows us to acknowledge who we really are and then ask simply, in a straightforward way, for what we really need. Oh, but that's tricky, isn't it? That requires that we get real with ourselves, and I don't know about you, but that's not always something that I want to do. Getting real with ourselves means confronting those things that we don't really like about ourselves, those places in our lives that we would just rather ignore. And asking for what we need means acknowledging that we're not fully self-made people, that we're not fully in control. Henry Nouwen describes this as the clenched fist, a tension based in fear. He describes a woman in a mental health facility who was so fearful of what was happening to her that she gripped one small coin in her fist and would not give it up. Nouwen says that it was as if she would lose her very self along with that coin. She would have nothing more, and she would be nothing more. That was her fear. He goes on to suggest that prayer is an invitation to open your tightly clenched fist and give up your last coin. This is obviously painful because, well, let's be honest, who wants to do that? He says, you hold fast to what is familiar, even if you aren't proud of it. You feel it is safer to cling to a sorry past than to trust in a new future. So you fill your hands with small, clammy coins, which you don't want to surrender. Ah, no wonder I have such a hard time with prayer. It's so hard to let go. Author Kathleen Norris says that prayer is not asking for what you think you want, but asking to be changed in ways that you can't imagine. And there it is. That C word, change. Letting go of our coins opens us to the possibility of change, of surrendering control, or at least the illusion of control, and that's a scary prospect. Recently, I saw a cartoon, and in the first frame, there's a man standing at a podium, and there's a crowd of people, and he asks the crowd, "Who wants change?" And everybody raises their hands. In the next frame, the same man at the same podium with the same group of people says, "Who wants to change?" And everybody looks at their feet. It's hard to let go. And as much as we think we might want change, it's so hard to change, to let go of those tightly held coins. And yet, I know it's possible. I've seen it happen. I've known people who have such deep and rich prayer lives for whom prayer is as important as their very breath. My grandmother is one of them. At age 91, she is one of the most prayerful people I know. Until recently, she met weekly with a small group from her church to listen to God and to pray for the needs of the community and the world. And every time she sends me a note, she reminds me that she prays for me every day. What a gift to me, and what a discipline for her. And yet, it doesn't seem painful or scary to her. It doesn't seem like a chore. Perhaps for her and for others who are faithful in prayer, perhaps opening their clenched fists offers them something greater than the tension and fear that keep the rest of us clinging to our coins. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus shows us how to ask first and foremost for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done before we ever even address our own needs. It's an exercise in unclenching our fists. And it's a reminder that God's vision is so much greater than our own. But can we trust that we won't lose everything along with that coin? Don't be afraid, Nouwen says. Don't be afraid to show the clammy coin, which will buy so little anyway. Don't be afraid. After all, Jesus reminds us that we're praying to Abba, Father, our God who is both a loving parent and the Holy of Holies. Jesus follows the Lord's Prayer by telling his disciples a parable. In the parable, a person approaches their friend at night, requesting bread for an unexpected guest. The friend denies the request at first because it will disrupt the entire household. They'll have to get up, they'll have to turn on the lights and shuffle around for bread and open the door, and that will wake everybody up. But Jesus says, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. At least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. At first pass, it seems like Jesus is encouraging his disciples to be persistent in asking God for what they need. And that very well may be the case. But there's also another possibility. The word that the New Revised Standard Version translates here as persistence is elsewhere translated as shameless. You remember that in the Greco-Roman world, an honor code existed concerning hospitality. Regardless of how inconvenient or disruptive, it would have been shameful for a person to deny bread to a neighbor standing outside of their home in the middle of the night. One commentator even points to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28, which says, "Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it,' when you have it with you." In other words, even if the friend wouldn't disrupt his entire household in the middle of the night for the sake of his friend, he would do it because it would bring shame on him not to. With his reputation at stake, he would want to do the honorable thing. So perhaps this parable isn't so much about the persistence of the one who asks, as it is about the character of the one who is being asked. This is not some distant and uncaring God that we address in our prayers, but the very one who created us, our loving parent, who is honorable and trustworthy, someone to whom we can safely release our coins. So what does this look like? This opening of our clenched fists, practically speaking, I mean, what does it look like? I don't think that Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer so that we would necessarily say those same words over and over again and that would be it. I think he taught the Lord's Prayer so that we would pattern our very lives by it. The form this takes will look different for all of us, of course. I have a friend who prays while she runs. I know someone else who has a little sticker in the corner of his bathroom mirror to remind him to pray while he brushes his teeth. And I know a certain senior pastor who prays by writing poetry. The form we use isn't as important as the posture of our hearts. The point is that every day, as we go to work or school, as we eat meals with our friends or family, as we clean our homes or walk our dogs or play with our kids, every day we will be open to being changed and transformed by God in ways that we've never imagined. Jesus taught us by example to remember who we are and whose we are, to ask God for what we need, and to seek God's will as we participate in the coming of God's kingdom. It all begins with letting go of our fear, with unclenching our fists, with releasing our coins. And when we do, our hands stand ready and open to receive the gifts of a loving God, whose grace is deep and whose vision is wide. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we affirm our faith together. You can turn to number 883 in the hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad that you are here, and we hope that you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They will be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after our service. You can look for their blue name tags that helps to identify them. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or are confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pews in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of the worship service today. Today we offer our sympathy to a couple of families within our community. We offer our sympathy to Janet, Bill, and Carly Warfield, who are mourning the death of Janet's mother, Marie Bellamy, who died July the 15th. Services were held on Monday, July the 18th. Also, we offer our sympathy to Walter Parsons, who is mourning the death of his brother, who died on Thursday, July the 21st. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God of heaven and earth, the morning breezes whisper your holy name. The trees clap their hands in time to creation songs of joy. You build your community in our midst, despite our best efforts to tear it down. Your simple gifts of love and peace are of more value than all the world promises us. Jesus Christ, teacher of our hearts, you walk with us through the streets of fear and failure, holding our hands so we have no need to reach out for the evil one. You give us words to speak when the worries of our lives turn us speechless. Spirit of grace and hope, your river of mercy tumbles through us, washing our hearts of all we cannot release, so we may reach out and embrace all who have hurt us. Your peace defends the weak. Your glory shines on the oppressed. Your justice embraces all people. God in community, holy in one, we lift our hearts to you as we pray as Jesus has taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God provides enough for us to share as we give thanks and praise to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us present God's tithes and our offerings.
may be seated, and I'd like to invite those who are joining to come forward. This morning, I'd like to introduce you to Brent Clark and Marty Gentry. Marty is a pharmacist, and Brent is the Vice President of Capital Management at HCA. Marty is transferring from Dixon Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and Brent is transferring from Christ Church Cathedral. And then Jan Goddard. Jan is a retired educator who recently relocated here from Florida, and she's transferring from St. Paul United Methodist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. So Marty and Brent, this question is for you. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Brent, Marty, and Jan are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen. friends, may we go forth this week to be the people of unclenched fists. May we go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. May we go in peace. Amen.